If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. It's not going to work. We're going to begin reading at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Good evening. It's good to be with you tonight. We're continuing in our series that we've been doing all this year, the Sunday evening series of Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee, based on Psalm 119, verse 11. We're about halfway through the year, and I wanted to give a little bit of an update on where we've headed so far. We have completed 16 verses, and tonight will be our 17th verse. And I tried to check and double-check to make sure that I had all the papers in, but we've had several people on the left here. These are all the people that have done all 16 verses, and we've had some that have done 10 or more, and we've even had some youth involved in memorizing verses, and I know some of them didn't do all of them because somebody told me when we got to Matthew 5:28 that was a little more PG rated, maybe PG-13, and of course that's to some of us at a different level of experience. But we're thankful for everybody that is participating. If your name's not where it should be, just let me know. Of course, we're not doing this to put our name on a list, but we're doing this to hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. And I wanted to also mention one other thing before we get into our lesson. There is an app that I've been using the last week or so. It's called Verses, and it's for memorizing verses, and you play these little interactive exercises. You can listen, you can have it reveal portions of the thing, you can reorder it, fill in the blank, and then you type it out at the end. And, you know, there's some things about it that I don't like, but overall, you can memorize any verse of the Bible that you want. And the King James Version is free on there, and the app is free. So if you have a phone and an app, if you don't know what an app is, just forget about what I'm saying. But if you have that, then maybe you can use that in memorizing these verses and helping yourself to do this. And, of course, we're going to be doing this the rest of the year, so I don't know how many exactly we'll get in. I was hoping to get in 40, but it's looking like it might turn out to be more like 30 or 35. But feel free to jump in at any time, and I'm thankful for the great participation. I couldn't even fit in the number of people that had done five or more verses, and I just think it's great that we're learning these things and putting them into our hearts. I want to talk tonight about Galatians 5:13. Galatians is a book where Paul is talking to some people that were led away by false teachers that wanted to add to the gospel. In fact, false teachers that wanted to say that they had to obey the Old Testament law, they had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, and that the New Testament was kind of just an addendum, an addition to the commands of the Old Testament. And so I want to break down our memory verse into three different points for you, and then the lesson will be yours tonight. The Bible says in Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, are called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Now notice, first of all, Paul says that we as Christians have been called to liberty. We have been called to freedom. Now, I entitled this lesson tonight, Freedom to Serve, because we are going to be talking about serving one another. And on the surface, I suppose that freedom and serving seem kind of against each other, or mutually exclusive, that either you're free or you're a servant. But when you really get Christianity, you realize that both are true, that you're free from sin, you're free from an evil conscience, you're free from all of the things that the law could not free you from, the old law of Moses, in order that you might serve God and serve Jesus Christ by love and serve one another. And so the whole epistle of Galatians is for them to not go back to that Old Testament law, not to listen to these Judaizing teachers that tried to get them to keep these additional commandments from the old law that they were no longer required to have. I don't know what it is, but it's a funny thing. Many people are drawn to man-made commandments or additional commandments that God has not given us. And I certainly want to uphold every single law that God has given us to follow. At the same time, I don't want to make any additional laws and bind them on people that God has not given. We sit out and we look in the pews tonight. Who knows what kind of burdens you're bearing, what kind of burdens I'm bearing in life. And I was just talking to Alyssa this week. We were talking about how Jesus said in Matthew 11, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christianity is a freedom. It's a freedom from the bondage that the Old Testament law could not free us from. And so we certainly don't want to bind on people and create heavy burdens that the Bible doesn't create and the Bible doesn't bind on people. And so he's telling them, don't be entangled on this yoke that your fathers couldn't bear, that the people under the Old Testament couldn't bear, but recognize the freedom, the liberty that you have in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, it says that in verse 17, that when we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that is that pattern of teaching, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we obey that in baptism. We die to sin, we're buried in that water, we're raised to walk in newness of life. When we obey from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to us, then we are made free from sin. Being then made free from sin, and then verse 8 says, you become free from sin, that you might serve righteousness. And so we are free from sin, Romans 6, verse 18. Without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have the freedom that we do have. Jesus' blood gives us this freedom from sin. It also, Jesus' blood also gives us freedom from an accusing conscience. Remember in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, that our hearts are purified from an evil conscience? What is it like to live with a conscience that's accusing you? A conscience that says you've done wrong. You see, if I'm in Christ, if I'm following Christ, I don't have to live with that. Now, you all don't have to listen to my voice 24/7, and I'm guessing many of you are probably thankful for that. But you kind of have to listen to your conscience. And if I have a clear conscience before God, knowing that my sins are washed away in the blood of Christ, that is a wonderful freedom. That is a wonderful liberty. And then also, I have freedom from the tyranny of the devil. You know, the Bible mentions in 2 Timothy 2:16 that some are taken captive at his snare. He sets these snares. And we can recover ourselves through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, the reason Jesus came to this earth was to destroy the works of the devil and to release those who were kept under bondage because of the fear of death. And because Jesus has triumphed over the devil, I no longer have to be afraid of death. I no longer have to live my life under the bondage and the tyranny of Satan. Jesus Christ is my master, and I have freedom. So if you get anything from Christianity, the first thing you've got to realize, the reason you want to become a Christian is there's freedom from sin. If you're living in sin, John 8, verse 34, you are the servant of sin. And the only one that can set you free from that is Jesus Christ. So there's liberty there. We have been called, brethren, unto liberty. Now, liberty, though, does not mean that we can just do anything that we want. Liberty is not a license to sin. God will not sanction sin. Yes, he gives us grace to help. He provides grace when we've sinned and fallen short. But God will never sanction sin by saying, oh, it's fine, it's okay. You know, there are a lot of people in the denominational world that go to this verse that we're talking about tonight, Galatians 5:13. And they talk about it in the sense of, you see, it doesn't matter what you do. And they're all basing it on a false premise, because their false premise is this. They believe that faith only saves you, and whatever you do has nothing to do with your salvation. And that phrase, faith only, appears only once in the Bible, and it's James 2:24, and it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So as we're going into Galatians 5 here and we're reading about this, let's make sure that we keep the context in mind. He is not talking about an idea that you don't have to do anything to obey Jesus. What he's saying is that these Judaizing teachers, that were going back to the old law, and the old law was more on the sense of, if you do it all, then you can be saved. Nobody could do that. If you go back to chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 10, he says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Nobody's perfect. But it is evident that the just shall live by faith. See, the New Testament doesn't remove obedience, but the basis of it is my belief in Jesus Christ, who was perfectly obedient. And because I obey him through faith, yes, I might not be perfect, but now I have hope. Now I have this freedom that I didn't have under the Old Testament law. So let's keep that in mind and not make Paul say something that this is not meaning to say. You know, there were the Gnostics in the first century that taught the idea that whatever you did with your body didn't affect your soul. There are people today that say, you know, well, as long as you believe, it doesn't matter what you do, you're still saved. Well, the Bible never teaches that. And so the liberty that we have in Christ is not a license for us to go out and sin. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we have to change the inside out. And that's why I had Brother Will read the works of the flesh. He says here, verse 18, if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, verse 17 talks about how because the flesh and the Spirit are warring against each other, I cannot do the things that I would. We have two parts to our makeup. We're made in the image of God. We have a never-dying eternal soul. But we also have the fleshly pull. We have these two pulls on us. And so because of that, we can't do the things that sometimes the flesh pulls us to do. You remember that Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, he said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so here we have the list of these sins of the flesh. And these are the things that if we're following the Spirit, if we're pursuing the Spirit's teaching, this is our own Spirit serving God through the teachings of the Holy Spirit, if we're doing this, we'll be avoiding these things. So first of all, he lists sins that are against purity. He talks about adultery. Adultery is, you know, sexual activity with a married person that's not with their spouse, with somebody else. Fornication is illicit sexual activity in general. And then uncleanness, and that would be moral or spiritual uncleanness. So not only those acts, but also other things that would be dirty thinking. Lasciviousness is unchaste handling of males and females. It's dirty thoughts. And so all of these things are sins against purity. And so this even relates to things that are short of fornication, things that people might do out on a dance floor with one another. And so the first of all, he talks about sins against purity, and those are works of the flesh. And then he talks about sins of unbelief. He mentions envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings at the end, but in verse 20, he goes on to talk about the sins of unbelief. He talks about idolatry, you know, serving some other god other than God, witchcraft, which included the idea of taking drugs in worship to these false gods. And so those are sorcery or witchcraft, those are the sins of unbelief. Then you have sins of disposition, and that would be hatred or variance or emulations or wrath or strife or seditions or heresies. And you notice that these sins of the disposition, they're not so related to the body like the sins of purity were. Just because the Bible mentions the flesh, it's not just talking about sins that we particularly do with our body. You know, you can hate somebody in your heart, and that's not very connected so much with your body. If that manifests itself out in some outward act, then yes. But see, the flesh is just those things that are opposed to the Spirit, to the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And so here are sins of disposition. And then finally, sins of excess or debauchery. We have at the end here of this list, it mentions drunkenness, revelings, and such like, things that are like these. And those that continue to participate in such and don't repent of them, they do not inherit the kingdom of God. And so look at this list. These are the things that we are to avoid. And then we have a list of things that we ought to pursue. It says that we ought not to use liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ, to pursue the flesh, to indulge the flesh, but instead, by love, we should serve one another. That is, our motivation for obeying God has to be love. If I'm just doing it as a laundry list to check off things, if I'm just doing, see, I've done all this and you haven't, then I've become a lot like those Judaizing teachers. You know, that was part of the reason why these Judaizing teachers were trying to get the Galatians to follow those things, is because they wanted to boast. In fact, he mentions here they want a glory in their flesh. And so it was the vain glory. You know, this false teaching promoted division and people vaunting themselves against another and acting prideful. But true religion, true doctrine, promotes unity because it starts with the motivation of love. And as I mentioned, we've got to start with the inside out. We've got to change our lives from the inside out. And so if we have the proper motivation, then this will start trickling down to these other things. And so he says, by love, we have to serve one another. Instead of trying to prove how much better I am than somebody else, by love, I should humble myself and be a servant to other people. And so he goes on to mention this in verse 22. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, notice the progression of this. Love is the start. Why do I obey these commands? Why do I read my Bible and do what the Bible says? Because I recognize that God loves me. And because God loves me, I love him in return, and I want to listen and diligently obey his commands. And so love is the first of the fruit of the Spirit here that's described. I have to have love for God and love for other people. Those are the two greatest things emphasized in the Bible. If we're getting together and we're doing anything, and it doesn't come under the umbrella of trying to love God and trying to love other people, then we've majored in minors and minored in majors, and we've gotten things all out of sorts. So love is the beginning. It's the start of all this. It's the motivation for everything. And so loving God and loving other people is our main goal, what we ought to be doing in the Christian life. Now, love produces this state of joy and happiness. When I realize how much God loves me, and I love him in return by obeying him, I have joy because I know where I'm headed. I know I'm going to heaven. I have peace because I recognize his love for me has washed away my sins, that I'm walking in his light. And so I have this state of joy and peace that comes only from love. You know, John mentions in 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. And so love is the start, and then it produces this state of joy and peace. And then when I have that, then I am able to be this way with other people. I'm able to be long-suffering and gentle and good with other people. And I live a life of faithfulness to God. I live a life where I control my actions. I am meek. I live a life of self-control, of temperance, all because it started from love and it then goes into these other things. And so as Christians, we have been called to a life of liberty. We have freedom in Christ. We don't have the burdensome demands of the Old Testament law. Every time I sin, I don't have to bring an animal to be sacrificed at the temple. I don't have to be reminded on the Day of Atonement of my sins every year. I can trust in Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice that takes away my sins. Now, the freedom that I have, I need to make sure that I don't take that in such a way where I cheapen God's grace. And I use God's grace in the sense of sanctioning sin. God will never do that. God is not giving us a license to sin, but instead a license to serve one another. And so when you recognize the freedom that you have in Christ, use it as a way to help one another out, to serve one another by love. When you do that, then you're really showing the fruit of the Spirit in your life by showing love. And the Bible says that God is love, and you're reflecting His teachings in your life. So, are you walking by the Spirit? Are you walking by the Spirit's teachings? You know, the Spirit's teachings are found here in this word. Ephesians 5:19 says that we ought to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 says that we ought to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly and to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So notice that to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:19, is the same as to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. They go hand in hand. And so I cannot be following the Spirit's teachings, I cannot be filled with the Spirit and following the Spirit unless I am following the Spirit's word. What does the Spirit say to those that are outside of Christ? Well, the Spirit says that unless you believe in God, and unless you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about the gospel that he delivered to the church at Corinth, wherein they stood if they believed, if they continued to believe in that which delivered them. And that was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And so we have to believe the gospel. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. So we have to believe. But mere belief without a belief that is active will not save. You know, in John 12, there were several of the religious leaders that believed in Jesus, but because they were afraid to be put out of the synagogue, they would not confess Him. And so we have to have a belief that is a moving, active belief that causes us to turn from our sins. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, when Paul stood with those people in Athens at Mars Hill, he said that God, at the times of this ignorance, He's winked at, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent, that is, to turn from their sins. And our Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 13, 3, except you repent, you turn from your sins, you all likewise perish. So we have to believe, we have to repent, we have to confess our faith in Christ before men. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And you remember that Philip, when he was preaching to the eunuch, when the eunuch wanted to be baptized, he asked, can I be baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And in Acts 8, 37, the eunuch makes the good confession, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Paul wrote in Romans 10, 9 and 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then finally, somebody must be baptized into Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And every single account in the book of Acts of conversion ended in somebody being baptized in water for the remission of sins. Indeed, the Bible teaches in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, that baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So faith, repentance, confession, and baptism is what the Spirit teaches that we need to do to be in Christ. And maybe we've done those first things and we've fallen away and we need to come back. The Bible mentions that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. Maybe it's a sin of a public nature that you're guilty of. You know, the Bible mentions in James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God calls us to liberty. And yet, let's use this liberty not for a way to sin more, but use it as a way that we can serve one another by love. If you have any sort of need, we pray that you'll come while together we stand and while we sing.
Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweet His cry of love and pity calleth, turn and listen, stay and that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly. Bear his burden, to him turn. He who calleth is the Master holy. He will teach if you will learn. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his loving, tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give.